Welcome to the teachings of Pastor Mike Yost of the Springs Calvary Chapel in Habern, Idaho. Please join us as we study the Word of God.
Amen, and Merry Christmas! Come and see what the angels see. You know, I've been thinking about this message for quite a long time, Sunday before Christmas, our Christmas message. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about so many Christmas messages past, you know, and how you want to truly honor the Lord, but you want it to be fresh and real right now. And I'm just thinking about all these different Christmases, and do you see what I see this Christmas? Do you hear what I hear this Christmas? Do you remember, okay, and I'm just trying to think back, do you remember for Christmas, do you remember last year's Christmas present you got?
Yes.
Some of you are stuck, right? It's okay, it happens to all of us. Do you remember your very favorite Christmas gift of all time? Do you maybe, if you have kids, do you remember your kids' first Christmas? Do you remember your first Christmas? Well, your first Christmas that you can remember. For some of us, that turns the clock back quite a way. I remember my first and favorite Christmas songs that just, they are with me to this day. I can't help but think, Little Drummer Boy, we just sang, and it wrecked me. I'm like, I'm going to have to preach in just a minute, and I'm just bawling like a baby up in the front row. I love that song, Little Drummer Boy. I don't have much to give. And that, as a small child, it occurred to me, what is Christmas really all about? Is it getting something? Or is it, what can I give? And he gave his drums. He gave his song, right? And that just, that blessed me so much. I think of Silent Night. And to this day, I can never get through Silent Night without breaking down. Given, okay? So if you want to see Pastor Mike cry, come on Candlelight Service. And I'll be bawling like a baby when we sing that song. And I just mentioned or alluded to, do you hear what I hear? I just love that song. It was written back in November of 1962, and that's kind of important in what I want to say in just a minute here. Hold that in your head. November 1962. But you know the song, said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace wall, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Love that song. Again, it just spoke to me as a young man and just how much I love Christmas, and I remember and I look back on all of that. And as I'm remembering all of this and I'm remembering my Christmas messages that I've shared in the past, I was remembering back to a message I gave on January 12th of this year. Do you remember my message? January 12th, 2020, anybody? It had to do with having 2020 vision. It was the beginning of the year. We were looking into 2020 and imagining, what are we going to see? What are we going to hear? What are we going to know? What are we going to say? It's 2020. Let's get Christ in the center of our vision. Not knowing all the things that we might have seen, heard, known, or said. But I wonder if 2020 hasn't been the very best lens that God could have given us for seeing Christ. So here we are now, 12 months later, December 20th, 2020, and I wonder how our vision is working out. Remember I said that that song, Do You See What I Say, was written in November of 1962. That was a pretty eventful time in our history. In October of 1962, we entered into what was known back then as the Cuban Missile Crisis, probably the darkest part of the U.S.-Russian Cold War. Socialist communist leader Fidel Castro had risen up and taken control of Cuba in 1959. America tried to liberate them in a failed Bay of Pigs invasion in 1961. And then in 1962, the Russian leader, Nikita Khrushchev, planted missile bases, nuclear missile bases, in Cuba, 90 miles from American soil in Florida. The U.S. was on high alert. John F. Kennedy sent a naval blockade to surround the island, and everybody was just breathless, wondering who's going to push the button first. I remember when I was a young man growing up, we used to have nuclear bomb drills. Anybody here ever have a nuclear bomb drill? Okay. They would make us get under our desk. And I'm like, that's going to help? As a child, growing up, my biggest fear was nuclear holocaust. Some of you might be able to relate. I mean, it was an existential threat. It was going to snuff us out. And I remember laying in bed at night as a small boy, praying that we wouldn't get blown up that night, when I should have been dreaming of candy canes and Santa Claus. But I was scared. Fear dominated. That's when Noel Reagy and Gloria Shane Baker wrote, Do You See What I See? In October of 2020. And as they went into the studio, they were there to record this Christmas message, but it was really kind of a protest song. Do you remember the 60s? Some people say if you can remember the 60s, you weren't there. But it was a time of upheaval in America. Everything that you could count on, you couldn't count on anymore. And there was protest going on in the streets, and a lot of the folk musicians and people had rose up in those days. Many of their songs were protest songs. And Do You See What I See was a protest song. It was actually written to protest the commercialization of Christmas and to try to draw hearts back to the true meaning of Christmas. And the story is told, Noel Reagy tells, while they were in the studio recording that the producer actually in the next room had the radio on and they were constantly listening to see if anybody had launched missiles. That song was written and published in protest in a time of fear and darkness and uncertainty. It was as if death itself was stalking the land. Now, many of you aren't old enough to remember that. But I'm not sure that you really need to relate, because it's not too different from the days we live in right now. We've got the rise of socialism, just like Castro, election frauds, rioting across the country, climate change, and we're even getting our daily COVID death count. Fear, darkness, and uncertainty stalking the land. Well, this November, as a church, we did our own protest songs. We gathered in the Rupert Town Square, and in spite of the fact that they tried to cancel Christmas, we sung of Jesus Christ and lifted our voice and became part of that light in the darkness. Something I hope we see, I hope we hear, I hope we know, and I hope we say to the world. My message this morning is going to be in the Gospel of Luke. You can turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and follow along. This isn't a new message. It's the message you've heard every Christmas, your whole life growing up. But I do pray that as we look at this message, we will see, we will hear, we will know, and we will say what God sees, what God hears, what God knows, and what God says. The Gospel of Luke, written by Dr. Luke, a physician, to help bring clarity to the Christian world as to who this Jesus was and give a complete account of how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. It opens up in chapter 1 talking about his cousin, who was also a miraculous baby, John the Baptist, born to Elizabeth and Zechariah, and how they were old, beyond childbearing age, but God gave him a son. He would become the prophet, the ambassador for Jesus Christ, making straight a way for the Lord. And as the story goes forward, we get to verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." That sixth month is the sixth month since the declaration of Elizabeth's conception with John the Baptist. And we'll see that in a little bit later. So you kind of do the math, and just to really give you the thumbnail sketch on this, Zechariah was a high priest. It was his privilege to serve at the temple in Jerusalem 2 weeks out of every year, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. They broke down when the priests would all go in. They would bring incense in, and they would serve at the altar in the temple. It was a super huge privilege. And he was serving according to his order, the order of Abijah, the family he came from. And if you do your math, you'll find out that was in the fifth month. And so, at that time, during the fifth month, which is the month of Ab, it occurs basically around August. So now we're in the sixth month. 6 months later, it's about January. January, February in our timeline right here. And an angel is sent. Gabriel. God is strong. That's what Gabriel's name means. And he brought a powerful message. It says, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. First mention of the city Nazareth in the Bible. Absolutely so obscure. According to Josephus, the historian, this thing was like way off the beaten track. And it had never shown up. Nobody ever talked about Nazareth. And if they did, the best they could say is nothing good could come out of Nazareth. And yet God sent Gabriel to Nazareth in Galilee to a virgin betrothed of a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. This is a very familiar story to you, okay? I don't need to beat the bushes to bring it all to life. We know these characters. We know Joseph. We know Mary. We understand what's going on, and we see that she's a virgin. She has yet not they have not consummated their marriage. And the virgin's name was Mary, verse 28. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Wow. Seeing a vision. Hearing an angel. And hearing that she's the most highly favored among women. And literally that is to say that you've been accepted. God accepts you. God loves you. God is smiling on you. God is pouring his favor on you. And the angel gave this message to this young girl, probably, and we say 14 years old, we don't know, but a very young teenage girl. And she gets this message that she's the most blessed among women. And she says in verse 21, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." Wow. An angel. And God loves me. And God wanted to just tell me that. So much so, he came to this little backwater of a place, Nazareth, just to tell me, God loves me. I hope we see that this year. That God will come to Hayburn. God would come to my heart. God would come to our house. God would come to me. Nothing too insignificant. And she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, "Consider what manner of greeting was this." an interesting reading. In Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 6, we read this. We have been predestined as adoptions, as sons, by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted. Accepted in the Beloved. This is what the angel says to Mary. This is what the angel says to you. That's what the angel says to me. We are accepted in the Beloved. This is part of the Christmas message. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Well, why should I be afraid? God likes me. Nothing to be afraid of. But she hasn't got the whole message yet. Don't be afraid. You know how many times the Bible says don't be afraid? 365 times. You can look it up. There's one don't be afraid for every day of your life. And it's a good thing to remember. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Woohoo! We're going to have a baby. Woohoo! Kelly, you here? I was talking to Austin last night. I know you have this plan that you're going to have a baby. What day?
December 29th.
December 29th. If he doesn't come early. She doesn't come early. But right? Wow, you're going to have a baby. So exciting. What a wonderful Christmas message, right? And he even says, you've got a name picked out. You don't have to get your baby book out. I've got it all planned. We've got his name. His name will be Jesus, okay? Which is the Hebrew Yeshua or Yehoshua, which means God is salvation. Your child's name is going to be salvation. God's salvation. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Wow, that's huge. To be the ruler of the chosen nation of Israel. Your child's a special child. I can tell you, Kelly, your child's a special child. We already know this. Every child is a special child. Every life is precious. And it's something that we rejoice and celebrate in every Christmas and every day of our life. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Right? We read about this. Isaiah prophesied it 700 years earlier. No doubt Mary knew this. In Isaiah 9:6, we read, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Wow. Your child is a special child. You are a special child of God. This is this great message that we have. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And we back up to the beginning. It says Mary and Joseph were betrothed. According to Jewish custom, most marriages were prearranged. The parents would get together. They would make a contract that their children would marry. There was a dowry exchange that paid for the wife. Then they would enter into a contract, a period of betrothal, which was so binding, the only way it could be broke was by having a formal divorce. But they had not yet consummated the marriage and come forward in the wedding. That had to come later. Joseph and Mary were betrothed, but they had not yet known each other. And she asks herself, "How can this be, since I don't know a man? I'm a virgin." Again, Isaiah prophesied, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. Jesus is coming. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Emmanuel. Jesus Christ. How is this to be? I have not known a man. and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Luke the physician, who wrote this, also wrote Luke volume 2. Okay, we know it as the book of Acts, but it's the continuation of the story of Jesus Christ and the church that was birthed from Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 1, at verse 8, Luke uses this exact same phrase, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That upon you, that's a very interesting Greek term. It's the word epi, E-P-I. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, means to fill you and to overflow you, that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just that the Holy Spirit's come alongside you or that he's leading you or guiding you, but that you have been changed. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you, and the Holy Spirit is being released from you. And just as Mary was pregnant with Jesus of the Holy Spirit had come upon her. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, everyone confesses that he is Lord and believes in his heart that Christ has raised him from the dead, to him he has given the right to be called children of God. And you are born again. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, it will fill you, and it will overflow you. And this is part of that Christmas message. That's how it's going to happen, Mary. It's miraculous. It's the hand of God. He goes on to say, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Wow! Amazing news. It's maybe not the Cuban Missile Crisis. It may not be the best Christmas you ever remembered or your favorite gift you've ever got. But to a young 14-year-old, unmarried, engaged and promised, but unmarried girl, to be found with child in her day was a death sentence. We read in Matthew's gospel that Joseph was a just man. He didn't want to make a public spectacle out of her. He just wanted to put her away quietly and not consummate the marriage. But under Jewish law, had it come to a court trial, had she been found out and people had seen it, she could have been taken outside the city and they would throw stones at her until she died. A death sentence. Not the best news you could get for Christmas. And I think about the news that we've received this year and how we looked into 2020 with so much hope. Wow! It just kind of rings, right? I'm going to finally get my glasses on. I'm going to see things clearly now. And then, man, it seems like the world started hurling stones at us. You know, there's this virus and, you know, all these different things. This election coming up. There's all these different things going on in the world. And, man, it felt like you're being pummeled. I know not all of you feel that way, but I've talked to a couple of you, and it's like, man, this has been a rough year. I think that's the consensus for most people. And this is what Mary is looking at, a pretty bleak future. It's interesting. I'm not going to go into it, but as you continue in verse 46 through 55, Mary sings a song called the Magnificat because she declares the magnificence of Christ and this promise that God has given her that she will bear Christ. She will carry Christ. She will bring Christ into the world. She's been chosen of all the women on the face of the earth, most favored amongst women, for this tremendous privilege that every Jewish woman prayed might come her way. And she was chosen. She hit the lottery. It's interesting, in this Magnificat, it's only 9 verses long, but there's 20 Old Testament quotes all strung together. If I was to give you a piece of paper and a pencil, do you think before the service is over you could write down 20 Old Testament quotes? And yet that's this young lady, youth group age. She loves the Lord. She knows His Word. And just in a spontaneous eruption of joy, she's able to put together the longest song recorded in the New Testament. 20 Old Testament quotes all strung together. Just a beautiful, beautiful song of praise of the magnificence of Jesus Christ. What a blessing, and yet maybe a couple strings attached. Like, how are we going to live with this issue? As you read through the Gospels, you'll notice that in John chapter 8, the Pharisees come against Jesus, and they accuse Him of being born illegitimately. I won't use the coarse words to describe it, but Jesus would have grown up as an illegitimate child in the community. This would be the name, this would be the scorn that would be heaped upon Mary her whole life. And Jesus as well, as He grew up. A heavy burden to bear. And you know, it's part of the Christmas story. It's part of seeing and hearing and knowing and saying, coming to Christ does not mean that everything instantly gets better. The Bible teaches us that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. But that doesn't mean those are all good things that come to you. We just finished the book of James last Sunday. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. Part of the Christmas message comes with scars, comes with burdens. As you have received Christ, you've been impregnated with the Holy Spirit, you are going to bring forth the message of Jesus Christ, and the world will mock. And it can be rough. They tried to cancel Christmas on the town square this year. You can't cancel Christmas. You can't cancel a baby. It don't work that way, or it should not to. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. So it came, chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. It came to pass. You can't stop Christmas. Christmas is coming. 5 days away. I hope you're ready. Ready or not, here it comes. And yet, praise God that Christmas came. Praise God that He so loved the world that while we were yet sinners, He gave His only begotten Son, that all who would believe in Him wouldn't perish, that we would have eternal life in Christ Jesus. The most amazing gift. And it came to pass that Caesar Augustus was ruling in the world, and he makes a decree, everybody go pay taxes. Again, do you see the Christmas story here? Do you see the Christmas story in the message? You know, it's surrounded by government mandates, inconveniences, all the things the culture's throwing at you, and yet you carry Christ. And you buck on up, you go on through. You see in this story how Joseph and Mary, he put her on a donkey and rode down from Nazareth to Bethlehem? I always test to see because the donkey's not there. There's a lot of places where we let our imagination fill in the blanks. But sometimes, and we have to be a little careful with this, you fill in the blanks and it can cloud your vision of what's actually there. And in Mary's day, it wouldn't have been unlikely that she walked. Probably 5 days. And she's about to give birth. But they may have arranged for a donkey or hitched a ride with the caravan. There were many, many people traveling. Obviously, have to. Government says so. Taxes. The reason they were raising taxes, because Caesar had led an unsuccessful war and the nation of Rome was poor. We need to raise taxes to build up our military again. We got to build our war machine again. And everybody was under this burden. But they come. Of course, the town is crowded. No room in the inn. And yet, they did find a place. Somebody was generous enough to say, you know what? There's a place where we keep the animals. You can go in there. Maybe you can find a little bit of privacy. Maybe you can find a little bit of shelter. And Jesus was born and placed in the manger. The manger, feed trough. That's where they would throw the hay to feed the animal. And that would be Jesus' first crib. In Bethlehem, we read. The scriptures tell us that this is going to take place. Again, in Micah chapter 5, at verse 2, we read, "But you, Bethlehem." The name Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Bethlehem. "Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until that time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace." Over 300 places in the Old Testament are there prophecies, history written before it happens. God telling what's going to happen over 300 times of Jesus Christ, of his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Thousands of years before it came to pass, God told us, this is what's going to happen on that holy night. The one who brings peace will be born in Bethlehem of a virgin. And you can go down the list. The mathematical probability for all of these 300 prophecies coming to pass in one human being living in one place at one time in history, the odds of that happening are larger than finding one electron in all the atoms in all the known universe and just picking it blindfolded out of the stack. Start touring every galaxy. Start touring every star in every galaxy, billions and billions of stars and billions of galaxies, and you have no clue, and you're supposed to find the right one the first time. Mathematically, this is actually a term they use in the mathematics of probability. They call it, and it's a mathematical term, it's called impossible. They actually use that term in math. It can't happen. It's not possible. And yet, with God, all things are possible. And it came to pass. And they wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. Verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" Here's another one. You've had two today. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Whew! Amazing. And yet, it's interesting in this Christmas story, as we see it unfold in a backwater of a town called Nazareth, to a insignificant teenage girl, that God reveals his greatest blessing. And again, to these shepherds, outcasts, they would have considered them derelicts, ruffians. I know, you don't like that. I mean, we like shepherds, okay? We live in sheep country, and shepherds are good people. But in Jesus' day, during this time, generally speaking, they were not to be amongst good people. They were looked down upon and even kind of feared. You know, if a shepherd comes down, he's probably going to steal from you, or they're crude and they're vulgar, and they just got relegated. Go watch the sheep. Kind of funny. Same thing happened to a young boy who would become king of Israel. Son of Jesse, the one everybody else overlooked, but not God. Samuel says, Jesse, don't you have another boy? Oh, yeah, but he's unimportant. He's out watching the sheep. Jesse says, bring him to me. He says, this one shall be the king of Israel. His name, David. So these shepherds are out watching their flock in the dark, at night. Everything in the world, pretty grim, especially for them. And shazam! Angels! An angel come and gives them this amazing message. I don't know where you are this Christmas season. I hope you're in a great place. I hope you're in a place of rejoicing. I hope you're in a place of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I hope that peace and goodwill are resting on your home. But know this, not everybody is. It's tough this year, 2020. It's not the year we expected. And even Christmas 2020, is anybody here grappling on how to get a grip of Christmas 2020? You know, it seems to me personally, and again, you may not be this way, but I've been having a hard time with the Christmas cheer. It seems like it's been pushed out of the limelight. I know for years now, people have been trying to get us to stop saying Merry Christmas and start saying Happy Holidays, and it's been a war on Christmas. But it's funny, this full-on war, we just kind of get back in their face and like, Merry Christmas, bro. But this year, without even, it seems like, firing a shot, Christmas has just kind of been swept under the carpet. All the public celebration and gatherings, and don't go visit your relatives, don't get together for dinner. And it's been harder, it seems, to get a hold of Christmas. And here's these shepherds, and they receive this wonderful, wonderful message. Do not be afraid, but behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Humble, innocent, pure. God came to us in a way that every single human being who walks the face of the earth can receive him. You're not afraid when you see a baby. You don't look in the room and go, oh, a baby, I'm running. You just want to cuddle him. Oh, I love to. Can I touch him, pinch his cheeks, or whatever? You know? And that's how God came. Completely vulnerable. Any one of us could say a gazillion negative things about God, and he took it all. We can mock him. We can mock Christmas. We can spit on him. We can shame him. In fact, the world tries. They nailed him to a cross. They put him in the grave. But you can't stop Christmas. And he came out of the grave. And he lives. And the Christmas story lives today, just like it lived that night. And even in 2020, if you can see, if you can hear, if you can know, and say, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. God so loved us that he sent his son. And he came in such a simple way that we can all receive him. And that this is what we rejoice at. This is the good news of Christmas, verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the babe manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child, and those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. Wow. Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king. Do you know what I know? Said the mighty king to the people everywhere. Listen to what I say. Peace has come to earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And they heard and they saw and they knew and they showed it to the world. They shared the good news. I pray that that's our hearts this Christmas. I pray that 2020 has brought Jesus Christ into clearer focus than he's ever been in your life. That not in spite of, but because of all the trials, because of all the tragedy, because of all the things the world tries to throw our way, you can't stop Christmas. He's birthed in our hearts. The Holy Spirit has come upon us. And we are with child. We have Christ. And we have that opportunity to go and share that good news with everybody. Finally, in closing, and worship team, you can come on up. Then the shepherds returned, verse 18, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I just love that. All these things. You take everything that you've seen. And there's a lot. But you know, this year, if you've been looking, revival has been breaking out on planet Earth. It's true. The war is heating up, okay? Lives are in the balance. We look at persecution of the church and Christians of the world. More Christians died for their faith, were slaughtered for their faith ever before this year than ever in history. It's ramping up. It's getting hot. It's getting tense. And we're coming into a time in history which every single saint has prayed for. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Woo! As it is in heaven. And it's happening, team. And here we are, Christmas 2020. We're on the eve of the birth of Christ and the return of Jesus Christ. And it's exciting. And I hope we keep these things and we ponder them in our heart and we hold them close so that we can be ambassadors for Christ like the shepherds were, like Mary was. It says in verse 20, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them. Do you hear what I hear? I was a little boy when I first heard that. I pondered that. I've been carrying it with me close to 60 years now. And it grows stronger and louder. And every time I gather and sing Christmas carols, the little drummer boy, Silent Night, it just beats that drum in my heart. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. What do I have to give? I've got my song. I can give him my song. I can give him my song. I can tell the world who he is. I can go out in the dark. I can go out in spite of the government, you know, overreach and the different things the world's trying to shut Christmas down. You can't stop Christmas. And I get so excited about that. And I praise God, and I pray that we as a church are known as that on fire, loving Jesus, can't wait till he comes back church. Is Levi here today? Okay. Some of you are giggling. You know Levi, our grandson. If you haven't, maybe you can meet him. But I told you, I think it was last week or the week before, but it just keeps running through my heart. It's not the least little thing. Levi, it's time for dinner. I'm so excited. Levi, it's time to get you dressed. I'm so excited. Levi, we're going to Grandpa and Grandma's for Christmas. I'm so excited. And last night, late at night, driving from Missouri, they pulled into our house. I had already gone to bed. I came downstairs, and there's Levi. Papa, Papa, I'm so excited. My kids are here for Christmas, and I am excited. But mostly what I'm excited about is I sit here in this room, and I think back to what God has put in my life, in my heart, over 60 years since I heard that song. And I'm looking up on the stage, and I'm seeing the worship, the banjo and the harmonica, and everything that we've got going on in this place. I see a room full of people who love Jesus Christ, and I'm thinking, man, I has not seen our heart imagine the things that God has in store for those who love him. And it just gets better and better and better, and I am so excited. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so excited. Your light shines in us. Your love fills our heart. Your life overflows in our fellowship. As we gather to celebrate you, to celebrate your incredible sacrifice, Lord, to give your son for us, and yet we now are your children. And even as we gather in just a moment to break bread in fellowship at this agape feast, this feast of love, this feast of Christ, I pray you would just continue that work that you began in us. Continue bringing forth Christ in each of us and as a body. I pray, Lord, a blessing over this time of feasting. I pray a blessing over this Christmas season. I pray a blessing over 2021. I pray, Lord Jesus, that as you get closer, we will see you more clearly and our excitement will just be uncontainable. Thank you for making Christmas government-proof, culture-proof, fear and anxiety-proof, death-proof. Nothing can stop you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to just rejoice and let the world know that you live and are alive and love us. Let us go tell it on the mountains. Let us shout from the housetops. Let us fill our community. Let us fill this earth with the glad tidings of tremendous joy that unto us a Savior is born. And you are Christ, our King. We pray this with grateful, joyful hearts. To you, Jesus. our King, our Lord, our Savior. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about the Springs Calvary Chapel, please visit our website at www.thespringscalvarychapel.org. Join us in person at the Springs in Habern, Idaho, or here on the podcast as we worship together in spirit and in truth.